Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Here come the Addicts, down to our left-hand side. And you can hear the applause that greets them as they hit the valley surface to the tune of the Red Red Robin. As Charlton get the game underway, the ball goes back to Pratt. Fraser avoids that challenge, goes back out to his left foot, takes the shot. Well over the top of the Charlton crossbar. I thought he was going to send this long bogle, almost picked his pocket, and there's a shot coming in from the attempted clearance by the keeper that went straight to Shinney, to Fraser into the penalty area. Prattley backs off and the shot in. This great save from Amos.
It's Matthews, crossing opportunity for Chong, swings it in towards the far post, comes to Washington, controls, cleared away. Keogh back to Fraser in the penalty area. Fraser works an angle for a shot, and again Amos with the save. And as Charlton clear it away, That is the end of the first 45 minutes here. As you have to say, despite the league positioning difference between the two sides, you have to say MK have certainly dominated in that first 45 minutes. Left-hand side, cuts inside Matthews and works an angle for a shot. Good save from Amos. It comes down to Gladwin with a shot and it's wide. Ball forward to the edge of the penalty area to Morris. It's a lovely looking turn, gets onto his right foot, goes for goal, and it's a good save again from Ben Amos, diving to his left and punching the ball away. He's been busy tonight, the Charlton goalkeeper. And Washington has it on the edge of the penalty area. Runners inside, Washington cuts inside, goes for goal, and it's straight at the goalkeeper.
Madison, ball into the box, Gilby can't quite get there. Anike trying, Prattley will go for the shot, edge of the area, just over the bar. Gets it back to Madison on the edge of the penalty area. Gets it into the box. Drill ball across. Anike can't get there. Gilby, can he get there? Get the shot away? No, he can't. But it's just cleared away by MK, who gets the ball forward up to Morris. Gets it back to Sorensen. Charlton backing off a little bit here. Ball into Fraser into the box. Gilby trying to get there, and he's drilled it into the left-hand corner. And MK have the lead.
Well, he's threatened it all night, Scott Fraser. You can't say it's not been coming from his perspective.
4 minutes of added time. Madison into the box, and Anike there. Keeper flashes at it. Oh, Prattley off the bar.
Oh, that's a missed.
How did that stay out?
Oh, I thought we got a goal tell. I really did.
Purrington to the touchline. Oh, he can't get the cross in, and it's going to be cleared away, and that's the final whistle.
So, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. On this evening's pod, we'll be looking back at last night's extremely disappointing 1-0 home defeat against Milton Keynes, the game where the fans returned to the Valley under the new Tier 2 restrictions. And also, of course, we'll look ahead to the game with Shrewsbury. We'll hear from Lee Bowyer throughout the show, obviously, his views on last night's game and some comments that he made last night that did garner a lot of attention, so we will have to talk about those as well on this evening's show. Joining me to do that, first up, Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm all right. I thought you'd be a bit more excited about being back on the show. You seem a bit quiet. Not really making a lot of noise.
Yeah, you'd think, well, to be fair, I've been doing it the whole time anyway, so.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, oh, good. Tread carefully around these comments later, aren't we? Because everyone's got a view on them. Also joining the pair of us to have that conversation, a man who's been on every bloody show recently, is Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, thank you, yes. Yeah, I think everyone's probably getting bored of my voice, aren't they?
Becoming an ever-present, almost. But, yeah, I mean, you weren't at the game last night, so it'll be interesting to hear your views later on in the show about the atmosphere and of course, the performance. But we'll have that discussion later on. We just heard there, then, Tom, the goal, well, the highlights and the goal in the performance. And we're talking about the performance first, because, obviously, that what happens on the pitch is the main thing. In a performance that I think was a bit of a massive letdown overall.
Yeah, I was going to say, not a lot did happen on the pitch, did it? It was a real shame. And obviously, it was lovely to be back, and we'll talk about that bit a little bit later. But the performance itself was very, very flat, really. And unlike, I think, Burton, you could put down to sloppy individual errors and mistakes and kind of playing ourselves into trouble. But yesterday, the performance was just... overall just not really good enough and not what we've come to expect. And it's weird, and I know one, I can't think, maybe it was Benji Nurek asked after the game about the kind of difference between all the performances recently, because Ipswich, we looked so much more comfortable. I thought Prattley and Gunter in the middle looked assured. We seemed to handle them pretty well, but we just couldn't really handle MK Dons. They came forward time and time again. They kept playing the same sort of tactic in terms of splitting the forwards, and there just seemed to be so much then space in the middle of the park for them to exploit. And if it wasn't for Ben Amos, who was, I would argue, the only player who really put in a decent performance, we could have lost that 3 or 4 nil and probably not really had too many complaints about it. So, yeah, a disappointing evening on the pitch, but hopefully one that we're not going to see too many more of for the rest of the season, because it was very disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, Tom makes a good point there, and it was something that Benji Nurek picked up in the post-match. The difference in the last few displays, I mean, I did ask Bo, you know, we thought we got that out of our system after we followed up that loss at Burton with the win over Ipswich Town, but we were back almost to that level against Burton. Obviously, it was a slightly different display. It wasn't as chaotic in terms of at the back, but we were overrun, and that's not something you'd expect to see against a Milton Keynes side that, I mean, based on what I saw last night, should probably be a bit further up the table than they are, but, you know, they aren't. They're in that situation. It's really hard to put my finger on, Ben. What's going on the last few weeks? Why we've all of a sudden became so inconsistent when we were that pillar of consistency?
I guess maybe it's when we come up against the so-called lesser teams in the league, when you're in a game, the underdogs. And maybe it is a case of complacency. I know we said that last week. And as you said, maybe hopefully we thought we'd got that out of our system. But we haven't. And we didn't seem like we learned from our mistakes. They were pressing us all over the park, pressing us into mistakes, which we made countless times, and we just didn't replicate that against them. If someone's doing it to you, you kind of do it to them and see how they like it, especially at the back. I just thought that, I think it was mentioned a few times on commentary from Tell and Greg, where you got three old centre-backs there, especially Lewington and Keogh, and times when we did press them, they did make mistakes. And it just seemed like, obviously, it doesn't help where we have to rotate at the moment. 1 minute Chucks and Johnny are starting, the next minute are on the bench, and we're asking other players to do exactly the same roles. So that obviously doesn't help as much, but it just seemed like they were walking through us at times. And Shinny for me as well, just he kept losing out during the game. Obviously it come out that he had a bit of a knock. For me, it just the centre of midfield, we lost that battle. And especially that Fraser, he looked really good, didn't he? And he kind of dominated the game. Yeah, obviously, rotation doesn't help. It has to be done. But complacency as well, for me. It just seemed like we weren't at the races and we had an extra day to prepare for that game.
Yeah, Benji makes a good point there, doesn't he, Tom? Particularly about Scott Fraser. But, I mean, the front... The forward-facing players for Milton Keynes gave us all sorts of trouble. Gladwin, on one of the sides. You know, obviously Jerome up top was difficult for us as well. But Fraser in particular was one who just he kept finding himself in between the lines and bursting into the area, and we didn't have an answer for it all evening.
Yeah, he was by far their best player. And like I say, what's annoying is it wasn't like he was trying new stuff every time. It was the same thing that just kept happening. And they would get the ball, our centre-back would split because their forwards would. Ben Watson couldn't decide whether he was supposed to be closing down the midfielder or dropping back to kind of fill in almost because there was a big gap, and kind of didn't either. And as a result, there was this big hole in the midfield where Fraser just had, yeah, most of the valley to just run around and set up attacks. And it, like I say, it was the same thing that just kept happening time and time and time again. And second half, obviously, he made the substitution at half time. It looked like moved to a 4-3-3 to try and pin them back a little bit. But because of, I don't want to just say Maddison's work rate, because that's a bit sloppy to just say that. But in terms of the overall performance, the energy still wasn't there. And as a result, the tactic change didn't really make any difference. And as a result, Milton Keynes still had the better of it. If you look at the stats at the end of the game, I think possession, shots on target and corners were all in their favour and quite heavily. And fouls, we were making more fouls than them. And that was the story of the game, really. We just didn't close them down quickly enough, couldn't get near them. And as a result, we'd given away sloppy fouls. And yeah, it was weird. If you were coming up against the team that were in the top six in the division, you'd kind of understand it. But this is a Milton Keynes side that are down towards the bottom, much like Burton. And as I say, it was sloppy mistakes that played into that Burton performance. But there were similarities in the sense that the other team pressed us high. The other team had almost control of the game and had the pace. And that one was obviously a bit more end-to-end in terms of the end result. Whereas this one, I didn't really ever feel like we looked like scoring, despite the fact we hit the bar and despite the fact we had a chance just before they scored. It always felt like it was going to be one of those frustrating evenings, unfortunately. And credit to MK, because they had a plan and they stuck to it and it worked and it was efficient. But yeah, from our side, just so disappointing, really, to perform that way and to give their midfield so much space, because there are names in our midfield, you know, the likes of Maddison and Johnny, who came on, Albie, who's been performing well, Shinny, Gilby. These are exciting players. Gilby obviously knows what it's like to play for him, and none of them showed up.
Yeah, that was the most disappointing thing last night, Ben, is that nothing really clicked for us. I think as Tom said, we probably had our best spell shortly before they scored, ironically, but you know, you can't really say it was against the run of play too much, because the run of play was heavily in MK's favour throughout the evening, and that's quite hard to take, because you don't expect that, and it is this inconsistency that's plagued us a little bit recently. And I was looking down the list of like the starting lineup yesterday, trying to think where things broke down for us. I mean, you know, it probably was in the midfield, but you know, Bogle, I thought Washington did okay, but Bogle, was the ball sticking enough, or were we not really giving it to him enough for him to try and make it stick?
I think we missed Mattson yesterday, and that was purely just because we lacked width in our play. We lacked some outlets to give the ball to. I think they squashed us. We knew we didn't have those outlets, and they pushed us to play in the middle, and they were on our every touch. And as you said, Bogle, his control was off yesterday. I think Washington's control was off. Washington gave a good account of himself. He ran about and tried to push him into mistakes. But because that wasn't there from the whole team, it just wasn't worth it, really, at the end of the day. But yeah, I think we missed Mattson. Just a bit of width, a bit of pace, someone to run at them. I thought that was quite typical of our play yesterday. We seemed to have space and no one used that space to run into at times. We kind of, especially at the back, obviously Prattley and Gunter were probably thinking about last week, or they missed passing it to Mattson on the left to kind of run forward with, because Purrington stopped and looked to play it to someone else. I think someone, apart from when Maddison and Johnny came on and looked to make things happen, I think we lacked that yesterday. We lacked those individuals to grab hold of the game and take it to them, because they had those players. As Tom said, Gladwin did that to us. So did Fraser. And they had the players to hold up. I mean, they were brilliant yesterday. And if it wasn't for Ben Amos, it could have been two or three because he pulled off some really good saves yesterday. And it's a bit unlucky for the goal, but he thumped it across goal for the goal. So, yeah, I just thought we just lacked that width to kind of give us a bit of an edge to make the pitch a bit bigger and drag other players into the game.
Yeah, I definitely agree about Ben Amos. I think he's having a fine season and very little he could have done with the goal yesterday. So I'm looking for positives from last night because I don't want to be too doom and gloom, although it's easy to be after the display that we saw. But I thought that was probably one of Maddison's better performances, Tom, since he's joined us.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why earlier I said I don't just want to see tracking back was sloppy because I don't think we're going to see a lot of that from him. We're definitely going to see more than other teams have because Bowyer won't get him away with nothing. But we have to remember at the moment he's still playing his way back into fitness. But I thought going forward he looked very dangerous. There was one absolutely brilliant ball. I can't remember who it was he picked out on the other side. It might have been Purrington, but smashed it across the pitch. And a couple of other times he played similar sort of direct forward passes, getting himself around the box, had a couple of shots that were blocked. And yeah, as Benji says, he was the one player who looked like he might be able to make something happen. None of the other players really did. So I think that is a positive. And we've just started in the last couple of games to see a little bit of that from him. And yeah, what else? Ben Amos played okay. I think Femwo coming on is obviously a huge plus as well. And Pierce being on the bench, hopefully one or other or both of those are hopefully close now because as well as Prattley and Gunter have done at some time, they're not natural centre-backs and they've had issues at other times. So those are probably the positives that we can focus on. I thought Bogle did okay again up top. When he did get the ball, it tended and Washington looked a little bit lively, but I think when we get onto that, we're kind of clutching at straws a little bit. It was overall a very disappointing performance, but the only other positive I can take is very rarely do you see back-to-back performances like that from a Bowyer side. And obviously we had one 2 games ago, but then we responded with Ipswich and it's important at Shrewsbury at the weekend we do the same again and make sure we bounce back and get a good result there.
Yeah, it was pretty devastating, wasn't it, Ben, when Prattley did hit the crossbar right at the end. I'm trying to think of actual chances that we saw for ourselves. So realistically, there was a cross that Washington should have hit first time, but he tried to bring it down. I think Shinny tried to take one on when the keeper sort of gifted it to him early on. But then other than those couple of changes, like the Prattley side foot that went over and, you know, the cross into Anika that was blocked, I think obviously the Prattley chance to hit the bar was our best chance. And again, I mean, for me, if that had gone in, I think the performance would have been forgotten because it would have been one of those incredible moments where there were 2,000 fans back, you know, many of whom were back for the first time in 9 months, seeing a last-minute equaliser. So, I mean, it's funny, isn't it, considering how probably second best we were, or certainly second best we were, these thin margins could have seen us take away another point that perhaps we wouldn't have deserved.
Yeah, I think it would have papered over some of the cracks yesterday, just actually taking a chance. But as we've mentioned before, there weren't many chances. You've just reminded me of that chance in the first half. Oh, my goodness. Great ball by Adam Matthews. Cracking ball. And why has Connor Washington not hit that first time? Has he not got enough confidence in himself? It seemed bizarre that he wanted to take a touch there. And he just totally messed it up. And that was really our only chance in the first half. Looking at the stats, as you said, we had one shot on goal at home to a side who were, 17th, 18th in the league. Yeah, it's just not good enough, is it? It's not what Bowyer comes to expect from his team, especially if you want to be up there. And looking back at last week, we kind of thought, okay, have we learned stuff from last week? And I thought our attack was good last week and we made enough chances. And this week, someone who didn't do well last week, Marcus Maddison, definitely came on and changed that game. Some great crosses. I mean, even remember one point he did a few players, crossed it in. And what was so annoying, there was only chucks in the box. It was like, where's everyone else? Why is everyone else not trying to gamble on that ball? Where's Gilby? Where's Johnny? It was just chucks in the box trying to go for the ball. And it was just really frustrating. And we lacked that desire. And as Bowyer said afterwards, it seemed like they were the team that had less days to we were the team with less days to recover because they seemed more sharp, more on point, wanted it more. But it's a positive that Marcus came on and did well yesterday because, as we said before, he hasn't had much of a pre-season. It's going to take him a while. And we know what he can do in this league. But I think Boya said just before the first game of the season, he's told Chucks to watch videos of where Marcus puts the ball, watch how you can score goals from that. So I'd like to see that going forward to Saturday's game. Change it up, put those two starting from the start. Let's get some partnerships going. It's surely, I know we're playing Tuesday, Saturday, but we've got to have a regular team going forward, especially attacking-wise. I know we haven't been able to do that at the back because of the injuries, but changing the players every week just surely doesn't help.
Well, that's a very interesting debate to be had, and I'm sure that will come up later on in the show because we've got lots of tweets and emails to come to as well. But we should hear what Lee Bowyer made then of last night's defeat against Milton Keynes. I asked the Addicts boss after the game what his views were on the performance.
I thought it was a tough night. Everything that we set out to do first half, it worked. We knew they was going to play it riskily from the back, and we knew he was going to win it, and then we knew we had to take care of that last little pass. And first half, we just kept messing up on that last pass or last cross. And we won the ball back in their half. And second half, could have gone either way. I think two teams were pushing. I think just before they scored, we could have scored. But a frustrating night for me because everything that we work on, on their finishing and things like that. Like I always tell them certain things and none of that happened tonight. When we got the chances and the opportunities, we haven't done the right thing. Connor Washington had a great chance end of first half, far post, tried to bring it down. Like it's 6 yards out. You don't get time to bring the ball down when you're 6 yards out. So, which again, disappointing. And then when we are finishing, we're not doing it. We didn't do the right things. I think they looked sharper than us. So, yeah, that's something that we'll have to discuss. And I've just discussed in there because they looked a lot sharper than us tonight. And they played Sunday and we played on Saturday. So that makes absolutely no sense to me. So, yeah, that's a discussion that we'll be having.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I guess on Saturday it felt like you'd got that Burton performance out of your system, but then to not quite be as at the races this evening must have been a disappointment, because there was a chance to get up into that top two this evening.
Yeah, disappointing, because like you said, we could have gone top two and being at home, everyone would have expected us to win tonight. But these ain't a bad side. I've said that all along. They take risks at times, but if they beat the press, then I said to you, they've got people that can hurt you up top. I said that. They're number 10, I think it's Fraser, is it Fraser? Very good player. Very good. Cameron Jerome, still a good player. The other striker alongside him, another good player, you know. So, they've got good players. They're a good side. They're no mugs, but I think when they do lose games is when they get caught out with that high press and people win it and then they score. And that's what we didn't do. If we'd have done it properly first half, then we could have been a couple up. But we didn't pass the ball well at all tonight. So, frustrating night.
Great to see Akin Fainway back in the side as well and able to play nearly half an hour when he came on in that second period.
And done very well. He done very well, I thought, when he came on. Good to have him back in. It's probably a positive that we can take from tonight.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Brett! Hey! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Prattley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, Ethan behind. A little boy in Stella who said, I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable. Charlton Live.
Right, so welcome back to Charlton Live there. We just heard Lee Bowyer's views on the performance against Milton Keynes, and we've discussed that ourselves. We've got tweets and emails to come to as well on that subject later on. But obviously, you know, and it's been the talk of the town since last night, the other part of Lee Bowyer's comments. And I have to admit, I mean, I put my hands up. I was very surprised by what Lee said when, you know, I mean, working yesterday, a lot of attention was on our game because we were one of the six or so games that were having fans back in. And, you know, BBC London, we were making a big deal of it because Charlton were the first team in London since the new Tier 2 restrictions came back in to have fans back in the stadium. So, naturally, obviously, we wanted some quotes from Bo, what he felt about fans being back in. So, I mean, just before we go into that then, Tom, first of all, I mean, what your view on coming back? How did you find the atmosphere? How did you find the evening?
The evening and coming back, I absolutely loved. You know, just the stuff that you just feel like you haven't done for so long. Walking down the same old street, seeing the ground sort of appear in front of you. Was just a really nice feeling. Obviously, seeing Naif, not so good. No, joking. But seeing him, I haven't seen him for ages. And then in terms of how the club had managed it as well, it was so smooth. I was lucky enough to be at the trial game as well. But even though there was more people there this time, it was much quicker to get in, much smoother process, I found. So everything from that perspective was great. Obviously, performance wasn't great. We've covered that. And then for atmosphere, and I said it, obviously I cycled home from the game yesterday, and then when I got home and saw my phone, that was when I saw all the comments that had been happening in the post-match since leaving the ground. And when I reflected on it at that point, I thought, do you know what, I agree with a lot of what he said. The atmosphere wasn't great at all. What I'm less comfortable with is your manager saying it at that stage after a game. I think it is a very strange thing to do. And as he referenced himself, the fact that the atmosphere wasn't great, there were a lot of factors in that. I don't blame the fans for the atmosphere not being great. The weather was bad. It was cold. It was wet. The performance was bad. You were separated out in terms of where you were sat. It's a big stadium when there's only that many people in there. So I understand why the atmosphere was as it was, but it was very noticeable in the game. And I hadn't really thought about it at the time. It was only when I got back and read the comments and thought, oh, actually, yeah, it was very quiet. Having your manager come out and say that is strange. And I know he's tried to clarify it today. And I don't think anyone for a minute thinks Bowyer, you know, has suddenly turned on the fans at all. Because as he says today, his relationship with the fans has been very good. But I don't know. I was surprised he said it, but I was doubly surprised at the backlash it got, because I was there and I largely agreed with him, and I didn't particularly take offence to it. but in his position, whether he should have said it or not, I don't know. But as you put out, he says what he thinks all the time, and we've got to take the rough with the smooth with that. And I think on the whole, we appreciate a manager that says that, because God knows we've had it in the past where some of them don't speak to you at all and some of them waffle on for 20 minutes and you're not really sure what they're talking about. So,
Carl Robinson, I think you're talking about there.
How did you guess? That's kind of my summary of yesterday, though.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think we should have a listen then to what Boya said. It's always very interesting when something like this comes out. I noticed there is a little bit of messenger shooting there. You know, some people were some people thought that I was siding with Bo because I put the quotes out. Other people thought I was making too big a deal of it because I put the quotes out. And you know, why would I not put out the quotes that Lee Bowyer says? I put out the quotes that Lee Bowyer says after every single game. You know, it's not like, and just to make it clear what I asked Lee Bowyer, I've left my question at the start here. It's not like I said, oh, the fans were rubbish, weren't they? So, but I just said to Bo, you know, you must be pleased to hear, to see the fans back in. Let's listen then to that exchange with Lee Bowyer and his views on the atmosphere at the Valley yesterday evening.
So we have to mention the fans coming back this evening. It's just a horrible coincidence that the two they've been able to come to is the two home games that Charlton have lost, but you must be pleased to see them back in the stadium.
Yeah, I'm pleased to see them back in. I would like to have it to been a bit more positive from the fans. Been away for so long, I would rather them like get behind the team and try and get them going, because again, they played a hard game on Saturday against Ipswich, and when we play at home, we need them fans to be positive and pick the lads up when things ain't really going so well. That's what I would rather have happened tonight, but I'm glad that they're back in. I am, because we've missed them. Just wish they was a little bit more vocal tonight on helping the lads.
Hi Lee. Do you think it is a coincidence that the only two home games you've lost in the league this season have come with fans? Or do you think there's any kind of added pressure there that might have affected the players tonight in the Doncaster game?
No, I like to think not, because if you can't play, I've just said the same in there. Like, if you can't play in front of 2,000, stop the game there, because this stadium will be full again. So 2,000 people is not a big number of people. So you shouldn't be getting nervous and doing the wrong thing and hiding from the ball, which none of them done. But 2,000 is not a big number to be playing in front of and to make that much of a difference. No, I don't believe that.
And it's people. I mean, it's good that you're honest, but people might be surprised to hear you say you're disappointed at the fans' reaction given the circumstances. You know, were you quite surprised that they weren't more vocal and more positive this evening?
Well, yeah, of course. Because obviously we've been wanting them to come back from day one and they've been kept away. I expected, even though it is with 2,000, non-stop singing and supporting the players and getting behind them and pushing them. But it wasn't like that. It was very, very quiet, I felt. Apart from some negative shouting. And I didn't expect that tonight. Listen, the players didn't really do much to get people on their feet. I get that. But sometimes they need a bit of help. And that's what our fans are great at. So, yeah, it wasn't what I expected. Because we don't stop singing normally. There wasn't much in at all from start to finish tonight.
But I just thought I'd ask you what your initial thoughts were when you walked out of the at the kickoff and you saw the fans in the ground season.
Delighted. Absolutely delighted. Puts a smile on my face. See people back in and normality coming back to the game. I was delighted to walk out there and seeing some lucky people that are able to be in the stadium. So that obviously we've got a good fan base and a big fan base, and the 2,000 that we're in are lucky. So try and enjoy it. That's what I say. Try and enjoy it and make an impact. So, but I was delighted. I was delighted to see the 2,000 there.
So there we go. That was Lee Bowyer speaking to myself and then, you know, people from other news organisations as well, because as soon as Bo said that, it was a new story. It was quite interesting. It was something that people were surprised to hear. Benji, I mean, it didn't go down well. As I put on Twitter last night, as soon as the press conference was over, I was a bit like, wow, we did not expect to hear that. But then the way I expressed that on Twitter was, well, he always says things how he sees them, doesn't he? You can give him that. And that was my way of saying I did not see that coming.
Yeah, totally. Look, you've got to report what the manager says. He's going to leap by as a kind of person who tells how he is. And as much as we love that, there are going to be some times when we don't agree with that. And he's there to be shot at with his opinions. And look, I think yesterday was also him saying, look, welcome back the fans. You've missed out. We've been playing really good football. Look at where we are on the table. Can't wait for you to come see us doing well this season. So he's probably gone in the dressing room afterwards, really frustrated, thinking, flipping hell, like the crowd have come to watch you today, like first time for a lot of them this season, and you're putting that performance when they've watched you on streams doing really well. Like you've disappointed, you let them down, and then he's kind of gone in there and thought, well, actually, like the supporters didn't really help out as well. But you've got to remember, I've read some reports from, obviously I wasn't at the game, I know Tom was, but some fans were there from 6 o'clock when it's pouring down with rain. It was cold last night. I personally couldn't cope with being, you know, how chatty and shouty I am during a game, being four seats away from someone and not being able to chat to them during a game, not being able to shout random songs or chants that I do shout out.
A lot of people would have been glad to be at least four seats away from you, Benji. But I'll never forget a game at Ipswich away a few years ago, actually, where our friend Steve moved at half time and he told me, oh, I need to get away from Ben, he's quite loud. And Ben didn't realise and he went and sat with him. the atmosphere wasn't great last night, Tom. But I think the mitigating circumstances are very much there. At no point during that second half did I think, wow, they're not as loud as I expect them to be. I thought it's cold, you've got masks on. We're playing rubbish, you know. I just wonder if it was a little bit of an anticlimax in terms of, you know, for everyone. In, you know, I mean, as pleased as everyone was to be back, you know, it's not football quite as we know. It was interesting listening to BBC London this morning, actually, because Vanessa Feltz had a Charlton fan on, Barry, and he was saying how pleased he was to be back, but also you have to remember it's not normal. It's not, you know, we've been to these behind closed doors games, and honestly, I don't think people believe me when I tell you, honestly, it's rubbish. Like, I enjoy getting out of the house and I enjoy watching games of football, but it's nothing without fans. And when it's only 2,000 fans in these sterilised atmospheres and situations where they are sort of being told what to do and they can't go out to the pub and have a few beers and get rowdy, it's not the same. And I think I do wonder if all the build-up that has been given, if everyone who was there was just a little bit taken aback by the fact it's not the same. I don't know if that's how you feel, Tom. Was it a bit underwhelming, or have I imagined that?
No, I think that's a fair point. I think, like I say, I was looking forward to the familiarity of the evening and just getting back there. But like, I've obviously been lucky enough to get to a couple of games to commentate as well. And I completely get what you mean about the sterile nature of it. It doesn't feel like anything's riding on it at all. And we won a game at Leighton Orient I commentated on, and we were already out of the tournament, so nothing was. But first game I did was Swindon away in the Capital One, or whatever it's called now, Carabao Cup, League Cup. And we won the game, and I know we probably weren't looking to get that far in that cup anyway, but when Charlie Barker was playing, and there was lots of stories around there. Macaulay Bonn, I know we're not supposed to mention him anymore, but he scored a cracking goal. There was lots to report on from that. And yet, when the goals went in, I was just a bit like, does this game really matter? And it makes you realise just how important the fans are. And even last night, just you weren't even able to sing and hear the other fans singing. You know, it's absolutely sickening when you hear that Jimmy Seed stand cheer when the opposition score. But it's even weirder to not hear any reaction to an opposition goal. So it doesn't feel normal yet, and it isn't normal yet. But I think what we have to appreciate is that this is hopefully the start of trying to get back to that normality. And one of the guys yesterday was saying if that goes well and the tiers get reviewed, then possibly they can slowly start to increase it. And, you know, we've got to just take this a step at a time, like we have with the whole last 8 or 9 months, really. It's going to take some time, and this is the start of it. And it's going to be a long time until, you know, it's Valley with a home and away fans. And until then, we just have to kind of make the most of what it is. But no, I think you're right. It does still feel flat. It does still feel, everything sometimes just feels like it's not real, I think, in this pandemic. Well, that's certainly how it's felt to me anyway. And the game was part of that. You know, I went away and I didn't really care that we'd lost the game particularly. Whereas normally, if I'd have gone out, sat in freezing cold for 3 hours because we had to get in there so early and lost 1-0, I'd have been absolutely raging all the way home. But I just kind of got up and left and thought, oh, well, never mind. And that was it. So I think that tells its own story. It was a disappointing evening all round, other than the fact that we got to do it, which is a huge positive. And that shouldn't be overlooked, I don't think. And if we can start to get more fans back over the next month or two, then that's just such a huge bonus.
Yeah, I should definitely agree that we need to remember that last night, you know, and as I said earlier, we're the first team in London. So think about it, this is the capital city of our country. We're the first team to take that step. And that is an important step forward on the timeline between us being where we've been over the last few months and everything we've suffered and everything that families have suffered, and it's been horrible. And we as a club, you know, because of the great work of all the people behind the scenes, we've got those fans in. They did it in September for 1,000. They've doubled it now for the game last night. Because of their hard work, we have shown this country that you can take this step forward. And, you know, it timed nicely yesterday with the fact that the vaccine was sort of got through the next stage of being accredited or whatever they have to do to get that. And honestly, I think yesterday was a very big day, and you know, I'm proud that Charlton played a part in that. And I do understand, but like I say, I understand why the atmosphere was flat. Boyer has come out, and I should add these comments as well, that he did speak to Richard again this morning to make it clear that he said he meant absolutely no criticism. He said he wasn't having to try and to have a pop at the fans. The relationship I've got with our fans is unreal. I appreciate his freezing cold. You know, he's saying I've got nothing but respect for the fans. You know, he said what he said. He's come back and I'm sure everyone will put it behind them now, hopefully, and, you know, and try to remember, of course, what Bo has achieved for us. Looking at some of the tweets, and obviously, so some of these would have come in last night as well before that clarification, but that does show that this is exactly how fans were feeling last night as well. So let's have a look at this message, for example, that's coming from Phil. Hi guys, I'm disappointed with Boyer's comments. The fans had sat in the cold for many of them for over an hour, and these players put in an uninspiring and tepid performance, outplayed and outpassed. Our midfield on paper is second to none in this league, and yet somehow they lack any fluidity in their passing. Why is that? Luckily, with the exception of Hull, all the top teams are as inconsistent as us. I'm sure we will improve. However, it is frustration. P.S. Nice to be talking about the team rather than any off-field shenanigans. Yeah, and it is amazing how quickly we've slipped into that. Mike says, this is not a dig at Lee Boyer for his comments or a dig at him for the loss. I've had a season ticket since 87. I'm used to a loss or two. I went last night and it was a bit quiet, but understandably so. Here's why: the average age of supporters was not very young. I'm well into my 50s and I took my disabled dad. We arrived early because the club asked us to. By the kickoff, the very welcome hot chocolate was long past and our outlets shut, so we couldn't get anything warm. Over an hour and a half of waiting for a kickoff, we were decidedly cold and a bit damp. We were spaced out. You couldn't even talk to the person next to you. Redistributed, so you didn't know the people you were sitting with. Now you literally felt like you were alone rather than in a crowd. To get a song going, where you needed a little group together that support each other to be heard. Last night, every time you shouted, it was isolated. The pockets that start the chants were just not possible. Someone else mentioned on Twitter that we missed the drummer to get things going. All these problems are a result of the COVID situation, not the club, and not the supporters' fault, just circumstances. Added to this, the team didn't click last night. There was so little to cheer about. The team struggled and the crowd struggled. The club did very well to get 2,000 in, as is always typical of Charlton, not to do the business when a good opportunity comes around. Let's forget it and let's move on. That's from Mike. Len says, Since we lost all our central defenders to injury, our performance has dropped off. Not a surprise, really, especially having to utilise players in defence whose best position is elsewhere, leaving us a little short. Having listened to Bozy, he's definitely slipped up with his words, but they're not malicious in any way whatsoever. He's no Katrin Mayer. We've just been in the top six since the 27th of October, and that's what Bose and Gallen putting a team together in literally 2 weeks has achieved following the takeover. A couple of months ago, we've been ecstatic if we'd known we could be in the top 10 by Christmas. Boyer is working miracles in my view. Okay, last night was difficult, but we can expect more games like that. We can't lose touch with reality. Remember the hole we've been in for the last few years. Carl said he thought the performance last week was worse than Burton. Last week created and lost to some individual errors. Last night we were played off the park and had no creative flair until just before they scored. He says he felt the game plan was wrong. He said it'd be interesting to see what Boyer does on Saturday, and obviously we're going to be looking forward to that game with Shrewsbury shortly. Murray said, hi Lou in the Charlton Live team. I think based on our form so far, we're top six but not top two. I'm not convinced we're going to storm the league like we did under Paoli, and I have to admit I agree with that, Ben. Our performances are too inconsistent. He's just said he's given us a few points there talking about it. He also wants a shout out for his son Theo. He's 19 today but spending it at home as he has coronavirus. He's a lifelong addict. Took him to his first game when he was a baby and he's a cracking lad. I'm immensely proud of him. We are both spending the next few games watching the live streams from our bedrooms and discussing the action over a WhatsApp call as we both recover from the email. That's from Mazda Jazz. Yeah, so all the best to Theo and to you, Murray. I hope you're both well. Yeah, Ben, interesting point, actually. I mean, I think we talked about it. I mean, it's clear that we're not Chris Powell 2011-12 team. We're not going to win the league with 101 points. But as someone else mentioned, teams are inconsistent, aren't they? And I think, you know, Lincoln, Peterborough got beat by Wimbledon last night. Ipswich are still only on the same points as us. So I thought they were rubbish on Saturday. I mean, no one's running away with this league, are they?
No, exactly right. I think because of the build-up of fixtures, because of a lack of pre-season, we're not going to be like that team, the Chris Powell team that won the league by a storm. Because we got that team in. We started to get our team in June, July, and they were all firing ready. They went on team bonding trips. They were training together for ages. They had about 8-9 pre-season games to gel. That's the problem we're dealing with at the moment. We've had injuries, unfortunately. We've had our four centre-backs all out injured. I mean, any team would be rocked by that. And we're trying to recover from that. And hopefully on Saturday, we will have Jason Pearce and Akin Famwo at centre-back. And that will give us some more dimension to our team and make it more dynamic, where we're able to put players in their right positions and then we can judge them properly. It is frustrating to see us lose games like last night. But at the same time, we got to realise the whole build-up of fixtures at the moment. And as you said, look, Sunderland just sacked their manager. They weren't happy with how they were doing. Peterborough got knocked out by a non-league side in the FA Cup. I'm sure they wouldn't have wanted that. I know it's a distraction from the league. Portsmouth, whenever they get a bad result, it always seems like their fans are on Kenny Jackett's back. It's going to be one of those seasons where I think as long as we stay up there in the top six, a couple of results can take us into the top two. I can't see two teams running away with it. I know Hull are up there at the moment. They had another good result last night. But then last season, they had some dreadful results. So all they have to do is a couple of bad results and then their confidence wanes because they remember what they did last season. So I think it's going to be a tight season. And we've had some bad injuries. So as long as we can stick together and, as Tom said earlier, a Bowyer side normally reacts to a bad result. If we can do that on the weekend, then look, we forget, we remember what we've done and we move on. And hopefully we can start getting some more players fit.
Excellent stuff. A couple more tweets before we start to look ahead to Shrewsbury. Ian said it was a bit weird being there last night. Never realised how difficult it is to shout and sing in a mask. I'm sure the atmosphere will improve as we get used to it. Really well organised by the club. I'd do it all again in a heartbeat, although hoping for a different result. Chris said, just loved being home, not interested in anything negative. I'm sure I wasn't the only fan in the stadium with a tear in their eye just for being there. And I have to admit, Chris, actually, again, same as at the Doncaster game, but it felt more so last night. I don't know, the atmosphere pre-game, it felt really good, and I felt so emotional having fans back in the place, because as I said earlier, it's so boring without anyone, people there, and it is a step forward towards normality. Chris W says, watched on Valley Pass, left feeling quite glum and actually quite worried by the performance. MK was sharp, cohesive and energised, innovative. I actually enjoyed watching them going forward. We were so ponderous, unbalanced and so lacking in attacking intent. It hurt to watch. Right, apologies to anyone who tweeted in or emailed who I didn't get to. We've got loads this evening, obviously plenty to chat about. But I think we should have a quick break, and then we come back. We'll start to look ahead to Saturday's trip up to Shrewsbury.
Chip ball to Pennington, Martin gets it, does, ball across, goal, Williams! Johnny Williams scores his first Charlton goal. It's a brilliant well-worked move from Charlton. Foss Caskey, the ball to the far post of Martin, who did extremely well to get on the end of it. Ball across goal, and there's Williams to score. A man who's in goal-scoring form at the moment. One for Wales last month, his first for Charlton this month. What a moment.
Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. Time to start looking ahead to Saturday's game with Shrewsbury. Obviously, because we spoke to Bo last night. No press day today. Won't be doing that till tomorrow. So we won't get any team news added on to what he told us last night, which again wasn't really much. I think Akinfenwo coming back into the side, Tom. I mean, that could be big for us, as Benji said. I mean, really, we need to start getting defenders into defence again, because, I mean, for starters, it frees Pratley to get into that midfield where he's very useful for us, and Gunter and Matthews can then fight out for that right back berth, or even if only one of them get, you know, if Fainwo can start or if Piercy can start, and it means Pratley can go into midfield and Gunter stays at centre back. I mean, it just gives us a bit more of that spine perhaps that we're missing.
Yeah, it definitely does. It gives us spine and it gives us options. And as well as Pratley and Gunter have done at centre-back, they're not centre-backs. So having someone in a position that they're supposed to be playing in is obviously going to be a positive. I thought Pratley looked great when Watson came off and Pratley moved into the base of the midfield. And we know how good he's been for us in that position, certainly over what the last year and a half, I would say. So yeah, if Watson needs a rest, because like I say, Watson struggled a little bit last night, and I don't know if it was just that he wasn't really sure what he should be doing or whether he's just tired, because obviously he's played a lot of football. I'm not sure, but yeah, just having some options. You know, if Famwo comes in, as you say, that frees up Pratley or Gunter. That means that you can rotate either right back or defensive midfield. It's just having that flexibility that we need. So, yeah, I think him coming back is a positive. I saw Pierce play in the Papa John's game against Leyton Orient as well. And obviously, he played okay then. I think he played around an hour for that game. So having them coming back is obviously a positive. I saw Deji posted something on Instagram today. I don't know whether that means he started to get minutes as well or not. And then obviously Innes probably going to be a little bit longer. But if we can at least get a couple of centre-backs back, that will make a huge difference. And I assume there's a January transfer window as normal this year, because that's not a million miles away. So provided that there is, then we might be looking to bring people in then as well. So it's just about riding out the next few weeks really as best we can, and then looking probably to try and get a few more in the window. But yeah, if Famwo comes back for the weekend, that would obviously be a huge plus.
Yeah, obviously it will come down to that. They'll have to be wheeling and dealing in terms of the salary cap, as we discussed recently on one of our shows. But yeah, you'd imagine there'll be a little bit of room for improvement. A Shrewsbury side, they played Accrington last night as well. It's going to be weird actually, Ben, because they do have fans in as well. They're also in a tier two area, so they had 2,000 fans returned for the game with Accrington last night, where they conceded a late penalty to draw 2-2. I mean, Shrews, they're second bottom in the table, which probably means they're going to turn into bloody Barcelona when we turn up, Ben. But We have to start putting away these teams down the bottom of the table. So Wigan rock bottom. We beat them 1-0 without actually playing that well, but that was before the squad was really built. Obviously, Burton second bottom. Third bottom, who we lost to. Oxford we've beaten. Swindon we've beaten in the League Cup. I mean, so we've had mixed results against those teams down the wrong end of the table. But realistically, I mean, these are games that we should be targeting. And I'm sure Bowyer will be certainly making sure there's no complacency and trying to find the right mix to face a team is right down there.
Yeah, they are indeed. I think we've got to wonder if teams like Shrewsbury are looking at MK Dons and are looking at Burton and seeing what they did to us. They pressed us all over the pitch, as we've said numerous times now, and gave us no time on the ball and didn't let us play. And I think then have we got to look at a plan B? How else can we play? How else can we work around these teams? Do we put players on from the start, like your Marcus Madison's, like Johnny Williams? Thankfully, Ian Mattson's back as well. I didn't think Ben Purrington had too bad of a game. And I know Mattson had kind of gone off the boil a little bit last few games, but it is a player who runs with the ball and takes it to him. And I didn't think we did that last night. And I think that can be a positive for us in going against a side that will press us. I think if we have players that run with the ball and take it to them, that can be a bit of a plan B, because we didn't seem to do that last night. So with a team like Shrewsbury, yes, we should be beating these teams if we want to get promoted. So let's look at positive ways around it, because I'm sure that they will be looking at last night's game, be looking at Burton's game, seeing what they did to us and trying to copy that. I think they are three at the back, Shrewsbury. So can we go two up front? Maybe Bogle and Aniki together. I thought that looked good at Ipswich when those two were together. They complemented each other quite well. I know that was like for the last 20 minutes of the game. So, yeah, let's see what happens. I've got bad memories of Shrewsbury. I remember Ricky Holmes scoring the best hat-trick I've ever seen, and we lost 4-3. So let's hope it's not a repeat of that.
Yeah, we had some bad games up at the new Gay Meadow, or whatever it's called nowadays. But we've had some good ones as well, of course. That stunner from Darren Prattley last time we played there. We had a really important win, a 2-0 win in our race to the playoffs, which we obviously were then knocked out by Shrewsbury when we didn't really fancy ourselves going to win under quite early on in Bowyer's tenure, I think, but we scored twice late on. So, you know, it's a big game and hopefully we can bounce back with a big performance as well. Right, let's have your predictions. Tom, first up?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 win.
That would do just nicely, I think, exactly what the doctor ordered. Benji?
Oh, I was going to say the same. 2-1, Charlton.
Lovely stuff. Hopefully we can silence that crowd of 2,000 baying home fans. Lee Bowyer got punched by a Shrewsbury fan once. Hopefully he won't be there. But anyway, let's see what happens. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've tuned in and listened all the way to the end. Thank you to Tom and to Benji for joining me on this week's pod.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Good to have you both with me. I've been Louis Mendes, and thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday to look back at whatever happens against Shrewsbury. Hopefully, it'll be 3 points to get us back on the horse. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.